Thank you for asking me to speak. It's always a privilege and a pleasure. And I hope I can explain what I really want to say in this teaching. Because, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, right? I mean, we're all we're all children of God. So, but I think it's good to have a reminder of who we are, because many times we lose sight of that,
yes.
You know, in the world that we live in. So, you know, when we believed Romans 9 and 10, if we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord, we received salvation, and we also received eternal life, which is a big deal. But that's not all we got. We got so much more. When God does something, He does it to the fullest.
Yes.
We received the privileges, we received rights, and we received authority. That authority is very important, and we do tend to forget about it many times. So when we receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I can do that. All right. Just as a prince inherits and has access to the Father's kingdom, so do we have access to our Father's kingdom. And I want to go to Romans 8:17 right now. I'm going to kind of build on this because it's really important that we understand this. We are in a fight in this world to use our authority. And many times we are told that we are not good enough to use it. So it's very important to have this reminder. In Romans 8:17, it says, "Now, if we are children, then we are heirs." Heirs, I guess. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory.
Amen.
So, we shared in His suffering in that Jesus Christ did suffer, but then He was glorified, right? He was able to, and He's going to be risen again. So, we're heirs of that. We're going to inherit that. We're actually going to be like the body of Jesus Christ once He comes back. It's not that He left a body behind. We're not going to leave a body behind. We're just going to have a new body. We're going to be glorified like Jesus Christ. And so we inherit that. And then in Colossians 1:13, it says, "Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom by His dear Son." He delivered us from the power of darkness. Does that mean that everybody's under the power of darkness in this world? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It means that everyone, before they're born again, before they receive Spirit and are given the Holy Spirit, saved, are all living under the power of darkness. We were born in it. Okay, so we are captive to the forces of darkness before we're born again. What is darkness? Darkness is separation from God, hopelessness, and fear, because those are the quality of our enemy. And we live under our enemy until we come to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. So in Ephesians 2:12 and 13, I'm going to read from the NLT. You guys don't have to go to it, but if you want to, you can. And in Ephesians 2:12, it says, "Those days you were living apart from Christ, you were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promise God made to them. For you lived in the world without God and without hope." So in those days, the Israelites were promised the hope of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Gentiles were not promised that. They only had the hope of his coming. We had no hope as Gentiles, right? And then in 13 it says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been bought near to his, through his blood in Christ. So, to the blood of Christ, sorry. Have been brought near to him, to God, through the blood of Christ. So Jesus paid it all. Through his blood, we were able to be reunited with God. We now can have communion with God. We were separated before. And in Ephesians it says, For you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as children of light. This is really important because it tells us to live as children of light. We may know that we're light, but it doesn't automatically happen. We have to live as children of light. We have been given power to execute authority from in the kingdom of darkness and against the kingdom of darkness. And not only are we children of light, but we have this authority and power that's been given to us. We have that, this power. And one of the things that we are in this world is, as children of light, is that we bring light to the world. If there was none of us here, if there was none of us born again, children of light, this world would be completely dark. And it will be at one point when we go away. So light dispels darkness, and each one of us can make a really big difference in this world. Sometimes we just don't feel like we're good enough, but we are. Each one of us, God has us here for a purpose, and we bring light unto the world. Had the devil known this, he would have never crucified Jesus Christ. It says in Corinthians 2:8, none of the rulers of the age, demonic forces, understood it. It was hidden. God hid it. For if they had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. He lost the battle. He lost that battle. But he can still keep us in bondage. How does he do that? By coming into our mind through different situations, circumstances, people. And he can try to keep us down as much as he can so that we cannot have that power and authority in the world. He lies to us and he accuses us. That is his main tactic. It's very simple to understand. When you're being accused, when you're being lied to, you know who's doing it. One of the chief tactics of the enemy that he uses is accusation. In the Hebrew, the name for devil is Satan, which literally means accuser or adversary. The battle that we fight in this world is in our mind. We've already received Holy Spirit. Spiritually, we're not fighting. We're fighting in our mind. It's not always easy to do, but God gives us the courage to be bold. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, we can be bold because we receive the Spirit of power. Love and a sound mind. Just like it happened with Peter in Acts. In Acts 2 and verse 14, I'm not going to read this, but I just wrote down, before the Holy Spirit came to Peter and the others, were all hiding in fear. But once they received the Spirit, Peter stood up with boldness and declared the truth, even in the face of death. Right? So we can declare that truth that is Jesus Christ to help other people. The enemy can work in many, many ways. So one of the ways that I found in my life that he works is through other people. And behind their accusations or lies or anything like that, always there is a demonic force that they have allowed to influence them. And I know it sounds really harsh, but that's exactly what happens. And I'm tired of not of thinking that it's not, because it is. And I notice that every time that I feel God very close and I'm at peace, He'll come through other people and hurt me. One of the things I like to always share a little bit about you know, maybe my experience with this. I have a sister. She's not a sister. She used to be a sister in Christ. I spoke the word with her. I taught her, and she was born again. She spoke in tongues. All these things. But when she came to the United States, I don't know if she had resentment already in her or whatever, but she started to be part of the New Age movement. And in the New Age movement, I believe it's very demonic. It teaches people to believe in fantasies and practically a lot of doctrine of devils, really. So I love my sister, and of course I'd like to have family here because I'm alone here in the United States. I don't really have family except for my family of God, which is good. But you know, it's nice to have a sister we can share things with, and I've been constantly making concession, walking on eggshells with her because she will turn around and, like in the drop of a hat, accuse me, lie to me, just completely make me feel. She doesn't make me feel, but the way she accuses me really takes away from my confidence. And lately she did the same thing, and I started seeing the pattern, you know, that every time this happens, it's, I get close with her, and then we're doing okay, or kind of okay. I have to keep my mouth shut a lot around her. Mm-hmm. But then she'll turn around and she'll accuse me of something I didn't do. And then she'll tell me I'm not good enough, and that, you know, I'm all, she'll murder my character completely. And why am I saying this? I'm not saying this because I want to talk bad about my sister or because I want anyone to feel sorry for me, but I spent some time alone because now we're having this place where we're not talking to each other again. And I just thought about, you know what? The devil is the accuser. I am allowing all her words to really get to my heart because it really hurts me. It really hurts me. And, you know, I just started thinking, this is a pattern that I need to stop in my life. I need to be able to not believe her words, and to be able to stay close to God and allow God to take care of the situation, because I can't. But I know that I'm not the things she accuses me of. So what does the devil say to us? He's not doing anything new. He's done the same thing for centuries. He doesn't change that way. But he says that we're hopeless. He says that we're too old, too sick, too broken. And while God, in Ephesians 1:3, will say you're blessed with all spiritual blessings. That's what God tells us. The devil tells us we are unwanted and unloved. God tells us in Ephesians 1:4, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world and made us accepted in the beloved. He calls us beloved. You know, the God of the universe that created the stars, the galaxies, everything in this world tells us we are his beloved. It's a big deal. The devil always tells us we are guilty, unworthy, and he always brings up stuff we've done in the past. He never says anything good. And through our minds, this is where he works, right here, between our ears. He tells us just we're not good enough. God doesn't care about us. God doesn't love us. We're not doing enough for God. We're not reading the word enough. He's always accusing us of something, right?
Right.
So, while God is telling us that, you know, while he's bombarding us with all this blame and all this, God is telling us we are holy and without blame in him, in love. So we are no longer ruled by the kingdom of darkness. We are no longer in that kingdom. You know, I've been seeing what's been going on in Iran. They have no freedom whatsoever. A lot of them are Christian, but they have to hide, otherwise they get hung. I mean, and they get killed. And these people have no freedom. They live not only spiritually in the world of darkness, some of them, and then, but a lot of them live really under the rulers that are acting on behalf of darkness. And we are so lucky to be in this country where we can express ourselves, we can teach one another about God, we can speak to someone about Jesus and not get killed, right? So I just want to go back to Galatians, which is the verse that we put on the screen there, and really go word for word with that, like Al did. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son unto our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We now can call Him Father. We are no longer servants. We are His kids. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, then an heir through God. So let's remember to walk in that freedom every day, knowing that we are fully loved, completely accepted, and never alone, because God is always with us.
Lena, could you close out with a prayer, please?
Yes. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You, Lord, for everyone here and everyone on the conference call. Father, I thank You that whoever needs healing, You are the healer. Healing is the children's bread, You say, Father. And so we ask, Father, that You heal each one that needs healing, whether it's in the body, in the mind. Father, I just want to thank You for each one of us, that You bless us and bless our family and protect us and protect our family. Lord, I lift to You our loved ones. I lift to You all of our possessions, Father. Thank You for everything that You do and have given us, Father, and for the freedoms that we have. We thank You, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.